welcome to Giant Swanstown.
Great to be back in the town, although we may be a Coleman medalist town if the season keeps playing out this way. Liam Flanagan here, joined by Adam Curley as always. G'day, Curls.
G'day, Flanners. Good to be back in Giant Swanstown.
And you literally back in Giant Swanstown.
Yes, I am. It's good to be back, greeted with some not bad weather, but not as good as Gold Coast when I left. But, yeah, it's great to be home anyway.
You've been on the road spreading the word of Giant Swanstown far and wide in sunny Queensland, sunny and open Queensland. Let's hope New South Wales stays that way as well. Thoughts with anybody who does listen, any Giants or Swan supporters who listens to this one down in Victoria? I think the time for piss-taking has stopped. I think now, you know, we need to... if you can't do anything tangible, the least you can do is send well wishes to the people of Victoria right now.
Yeah, that's right. Got a lot of close mates in Victoria and Melbourne, and they're all going to be doing it tough over the next few weeks. Mm. So thoughts are with them, and hopefully they can find ways to stick together and hopefully get ourselves out of this mess pretty soon.
Absolutely. All right, we've got a win and a loss to talk about it, but before, let's check the sounds of the town. Let's see how things are travelling at Moore Park Precinct with the Sydney Swans.
Can't touch this. Look, man, can't touch this. You better get a hype, boy, because you know you can't touch this.
Maybe a request there for a Jake Carlo.
I don't know if you maybe thought he might have had a Michael Jackson glove on. I'm not sure if he wasn't a Michael Jackson fan or something.
Maybe he wasn't. All right, let's check things. How things are with the GWS Giants at Olympic Park. Yes, the run is back with the Giant boys, and... we've got a point of order we need to discuss, Curls, because you've termed some plays in that side, and your term has been pilfered, stolen far and wide.
It has. I'm quite disgusted, actually.
We're going to get to it, because we've got to touch in with the with the Sydney Swans first. They took on St Kilda on Saturday, and here's how Triple M called it.
Got it out towards Billings. That's a really good hit. Gresham is all on his own. Open goal square and bangs through the first goal of the night. Going to centre the ball, 25 out from goal. Oh. Getting up and taking a nice mark is Max King. And he comes in and gets his first goal of the night. Max King
needs some support and he's got it in Florent. Goes towards goal. Which way will it bounce? The Swans have got a late one. And it could not have come at a better time for them. They've worked their butts off to get one, and finally...
from a tough angle.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
I think he has.
I'll tell you what.
No, he's got it. That drifted back, champs. Good goal from Tom McCartan. And it is game on at the Gabba.
The Swans will do well. But Jones gave a little handball away. And it could be a goal to the Saints. It is. See, that'll really hurt.
Ryder now picked up the footy off the bounce.
Here he is again.
Behind. He shrugged the Mills tackle.
Wow.
Nick Hine for his third. Saints are running away with this one.
We're down to 5 seconds. So that'll probably be it. And that will be it. What a great win to the St Kilda Saints, 101-48, the final scoreline.
Yeah, pretty comprehensive victory for the Saints in the end, Curls, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It's just disappointing for the Swans to finish off the way they did. Not that we should say we should be expecting those sort of things with a young team, but they'd be disappointed, obviously, to do a lot of things right, but just got smashed and bashed in the last quarter, and just can't do that against the Saints, who continue to surprise everyone.
Mm. And let's not make any mistakes. The St Kilda are a very good footy side this year. That was the annual pride game between the two clubs as well. So we should give a shout out to both Sydney and St Kilda for what that game is all about, making sure that everybody feels comfortable at the football, regardless of their preferences. You spoke about the youth of the Sydney Swans outfit, and I'll put my hand up and say I'm guilty of looking at the Swans' performances, good, bad and otherwise, through rose-coloured glasses. I think we can agree. We see a future for this Swans outfit. There is a definite destination for this list. We can see the talent, we can see the ability, and we can see where John Longmire wants to get them to, Curls.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, John Longmire and the players and everyone at the club won't want us to keep talking about, oh, they're only young and all that sort of thing. And they obviously want wins, but the wins just aren't going to come this year, I don't think. So we've just got to look at the positives, and they continue to be the young players who are being asked to probably take on roles that not are above them, but they probably don't have the bodies and experience to do for as long as they need to at this stage. There needs to be more experienced players doing these jobs for a majority of the time. And these younger guys fill in the gaps, if you want to say that word. But they just can't do that. So
I spoke of my rose-coloured glasses, Curls, because Horse tried to take them off in his post-match presser. This is the response he gave when asked about the youth of the list.
Well, I think that's what the reality of playing younger players is. But there's also got to be a standard to it that we've got to keep driving, and we just don't sit there and say, okay, we've got a young team, and we've got some blokes learning the game. We've got to actually say, okay, well, what's acceptable, and what are the areas we've got to improve. And so we've got to keep driving that standard and making sure that no matter what we do, we get better at it.
Swans coach John Longmire trying to take off my rose-coloured glasses about the Swans' performances, Girls. Guess what, Horse? I've got rose-coloured contact lenses on. I think his comments and his attitude only make me more positive about the Swans, because we're looking at it from a list perspective, but then you see that you've got a coach who will refuse to accept the youth of his list for not meeting standards that they are setting as a footy club.
I think if you go back to when he dropped the Lear, I think was that 2 or 3 weeks ago?
The masquerading forward.
Yeah. And didn't that anger you for at least 3 weeks and three episodes?
No, I don't mind him getting dropped. I just don't want him pretending to be a forward.
But, I mean, that's the sort of standards he's talking about. Obviously, Lear wasn't adhering to those, and doesn't matter if he's got no one on the available list that's over 6 foot, John Longmire will drop you from the team if you're not adhering to those. So,
Curls, let's talk about some talking points from this game. The result is in the bag. We'll get to the vote shortly. First of all, Coleman watch for our man Tom Papley. He slides out of first position with just the one goal, and Josh Kennedy kicking, I think he kicked 4 on the weekend. So he has a 2-goal lead over Paps. Is it the end of our Coleman hopes?
No, you'd hope not. I mean, Tom had a rough week, lost a close friend in the lead up to the game, which obviously would have made it tough for him to play, but he's going to get locked down on. I think talking towards his performances, he's going to get really locked down on over the second half of this season. So it's going to be tough for him. It's not a real easy position either. It's a really tough position playing small forward. So he's got the ability to do it. So we should keep pumping him up. And I don't think he's out of it by any means, but the way the Eagles are going, Josh Kennedy's going to be in the goals. Mm. Brisbane are going well. Charlie Cameron's going to be in the goals. Papley's up against it because he's going to be in probably a lot of losing teams. But I think he's got the ability, and he's got a bit of spunk, and he's got a bit of arrogance, and he's got all that. So I reckon he's still a major chance.
I also thought Ben Patton showed oppositions how to play him. It's a hard, hard lockdown, and that's you can limit Tom Papley's influence if you play him that way. What did you make of Jake Carlisle? I think it was in the third term. Dane Rampey going into the game with that golf glove on the right hand after surgery the other week. And he's still, obviously, it's still healing. And Jake Carlisle went after it in a little scrap.
Yeah, well, before I start, I was a bit disappointed with Dane Rampey's glove choice. I thought he could have manufactured one out of the red robe. I think that would have gone much better.
Yes.
And he's lucky it wasn't his left hand, because let's face it, as amazing as Dane is, his right foot is for balancing on. So he's very lucky it was his opposite hand. But and before I start this, there's a lot of my friends will listen to this. So before I start giving my opinions, let's just remind everyone that it is 2020. It's not 2002, 2005 or whatever. So I'll say it now. If I was playing in my day, I would have whacked Dane Rampey's hand as soon as I lined up on him, and I would have done it the whole day. No problems with that. But that's 20 years ago. So Jake Carlisle's just got to realise that, like, what's the point of doing that? Got himself fined, brings heat on himself, brings heat on the Saints, who are really going well. People are talking about him being a bit of a nutcase instead of, wow, the Saints are going well. They're not just finals contenders, they're top four contenders. So I just think it was a bit of a garbage move in this day and age. Yep, 20 years ago, give it a whack, shake it and squeeze it and belt it, do whatever you want. But those days are over. We've got to move on. So ordinary move, but not a hanging offence by any means, I don't think.
No, the AFL's hit him with a $750 fine. A couple of quick notes before we get to the votes for this one, which I've done as well. I mean, you're on to something for a start with Dane Rampey expanding his merchandise portfolio from just terry toweling robes to golf clubs. I think you're bang on to something there, Curls. This is a marketing opportunity for Giant Swan Town, which we might... this is a verbal copyright. I don't know if those exist, but consider it a verbal copyright. Dean Cox has got to seriously be having a conversation with his fellow assistant coaches about the seating plan in the coach's box. He must be sick of sitting next to Horse and copping these sprays.
Well, I think it's his job, unfortunately. He's getting paid the big bucks. He's a senior assistant. They've also got to work out. They've got to put him at the back or something. So when he stands up, he doesn't whack his scone on the smoke alarm sprinklers. And Stevie J got a great laugh out of it.
All right, time to give some votes. I've got to give a quick apology or a tip of the hat. No votes, but James Rowbottom, the growth in this kid. Josh Kennedy being out for the season, or for the extent, he's not out for the season, but he's out for a long stint, is terrible for him and terrible for the club, but it's doing wonders for James Rowbottom's development. I think he had 8 clearances for the game. He's just learning more and more about how to be that inside bull every week. So no votes for James, however. One vote I gave to Tom McCartan. I spoke about him last week. I'm such a fan of the way this bloke goes about his football. 3 goals. 5 marks. He's kicked half of the goals for the Swans on a tough afternoon. So Tommy McCartan gets a vote. Ollie Florent, another bloke who just continues to develop. And when things start going right for the Swans, he's going to be a big, big part of it. He had a goal, 20 disposals, 6 inside 50s. And unsurprisingly, Luke Parker gets the 3 votes. Just a general, 27 disposals, 6 clearances, 6 inside 50s. He was a bull, and you can. I've got no doubt that he'll be the top vote getter for the Swans by the end of this season in the Lamb Mumford Medallion.
Yep, that's right. He can't do much more, Luke Parker, and I think you're seeing his influence on Florent and Rowbottom. Like you said, with Rowbottom, I was impressed with him. As we said, 7 clearances and 6 tackles, and does all those hard things. And once he starts getting his disposals up and finding more of the footy, got some wheels about him as well. So him and Florent will be major players for the Swans in there.
All right, let's take a break. And on the other side of this, we're going to talk about the Giants' strong win over the Suns. Sunday afternoon at Metricon Stadium, the Giants taking on the Gold Coast Suns, the Expansion Cup, and here's how he called it on Triple M.
Piercing ball inside 50. Wow, what a ball that was. And in the end, it hits Tim Taranto. Hooks it round the corner on one step. And it's an opening goal for the Giants. They've started nicely.
Very good kick by Himmelberg. And he's happy with it. 7 straight for Himmelberg this year off the set shot. And the Giants get the first 2.
Kicked out of mid-air by the Suns. Really opens the door. Should result in a goal. Running into an open goal is King. I don't know how to describe that. All I'll tell you is King kicked the goal.
Witts, he might have a problem too. He's hobbling out of that ruck contest. Hopper! Left foot brilliant by Hopper.
Drive that way. Cameron! Oh! Himmelberg! That's lit the game up. He flew above the pack and took a nice little hanger.
Jeremy Cameron rolls one off the ground. Right foot. That's Jeremy Cameron's first goal, and it was a brilliant one as well. Makes it hard for the Suns now.
The GWS, without Toby Green with his hamstring, have beaten the Gold Coast. 56 points. Well done to the GWS.
In the end, a 26-point win for the GWS Curls that puts them back in the 8.
Yeah, it was a good performance. A lot of people will say it was only Gold Coast, but as we know, Gold Coast have been a lot better this year. Got a lot of young stars amongst their team, so... it was just a game the Giants had to win, and they did everything. A couple of shaky moments here and there, but for the things that they've been struggling with, did really well and fixed a few of those areas. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come.
Well, they won the inside 50s, which is something that they have not done all season. And we're going to talk about the injury concerns to Toby Green and Matt DeBoer and the possible changes ahead of next week's game against the Bombers. We're not going to talk about the game, just the changes, because the first rule of Giant Swantown is you do not talk about next week. But we need to talk about the elephant in the media room that is the Dash Brothers. Now, Adam Curley, this is a term you came up with.
I did.
Talk us through the origin story.
Well, the origins was the start of last season, I think, when Zach Williams came back after Lachie Whitfield had virtually stepped in and taken his spot, won the best and fairest, all Australian, became a star. And I thought, well, having those two at half back is going to be amazing for the Giants. So when I first sat down with both of them, I think, pre-season, and said, what do you reckon about we call you the Dash Brothers instead of, you know, we got the Splash Brothers at the Golden State Warriors, and who are the Bash Brothers?
The famously, the baseballers, Jose Canseco and Mark McGuire,
yes,
for the Oakland
right.
Athletics back in the late 80s, and then you had the Bash Brothers in the Mighty Ducks movies as well.
Yeah, there's plenty of Bash Brothers. I think there was someone in the WWE as well that might have been a good tag team. Mm. So I coined the Dash Brothers, obviously both amazing runners. Lachie's runs all day and Zach's got the speed. So, and the GWS Giants have just stolen it time after time, using it on their social media with no credit to me. And then the great Brenton Speed, he was a mate of mine, a co-worker at Fox Sports many years ago, and then he said it in the telecast last night with no credit to me. So I've engaged some legal advice and a copyright, as you said before, could be set up soon, and might be a good way to make some money while I'm semi sort of unemployed at the moment.
Girls, this isn't copyright issue. This is the theft of IP. That's your intellectual property you've created. Now, you're,
right, yes.
Yeah, this is... And we as people working in the broadcast industry and the creative industries, the thing we don't build things, but the things we come up with in our minds and with our words, that is our IP, that is our intellectual property. And you've had, you know, a high-priced piece of intellectual property, real estate, stolen.
It's been pillaged.
I'm not happy about it.
And it just hurts me when I hear the term and there's no, shout out Adam Curley or anything like that.
Well, they should be called Curley's Dash Brothers.
Yes, that could be. Or maybe we get T-shirts made up. That'd be as well as Dane Rampey's the glove. Get some Curley's Dash Brothers merchandise.
Right.
Maybe that
would. We are going to start merchandising this, the Giant Swamp Town. We're going to start making this a for-profit organisation. Hey, but speaking of the Dash Brothers, Zach Williams showed everybody in that game there are clubs down in Melbourne chasing his signature, and B, why he's so important to the Giants' style of play.
Yep, and we spoke about last week when the Giants just not taking on those tough kicks. They did it a little bit yesterday, struggled a bit in that area, but whenever he gets the ball, Zach, he's always looking to hit off a kick inside. He's always looking to take the game on. He never really seemed to take a mark and get back and look around and then just bomb it long. He's always trying to make things happen. And I think even when he doesn't successfully do it, the opposition is wary of him and what he can do with the footy. So, yeah, he made an immediate impact to come back in. So it's really good to see him back, and the Giants just look a different team with him in there.
Well, and I think he's a significant part. You don't want to put the inside 50 conundrum all on one player, but he's a big, big part of it, because Leon spoke in the press conference afterwards and spoke about that transition from defence into attack, and when they create a turnover, actually maximising it. And that's what, as you said, Zach Williams does better than most, is that when there is an opportunity to go, he takes it. Even if it's only a half opportunity, a quarter of an opportunity, he backs himself in, he's got the skills and he's got the wheels, most importantly, to do it. And I would argue that his fellow Dash Brother, Lachie Whitfield, and some of those other less talented players are probably inspired when they see Zach Williams go and do it, and they see him pull it off, and they see what it generates for their side. They go, oh yeah, that's what Leon's been talking about. That's what we need to be doing to up those inside 50s, and we know their efficiency inside 50 is number one in the competition. So once they get it in there a bit more, they're starting to wake up. They're trending upwards.
He also makes oppositions nervous and forwards, because they think if he gets the ball, what's he going to do with it? Is he going to take me on, run around me, or is he going to chip it over my head, then get another one back and keep going and get it inside 50? So him and Whitfield, both skillful. So, yeah, these sort of defenders put the opposition under enormous pressure, not only when they've got the ball, but when they don't have it, because perceived pressure is a big thing. So, and he'll only get better too. He's had a month off with a hammy. So things are looking good for that back line, that's for sure.
Speaking of hamstrings, talk to me about Toby Green and Matt DeBoer. Where are they at?
Oh, couldn't believe it yesterday. Just after Cook, we named him the most watchable player in the league. Toby's not the most watchable player if we can't watch him.
No. Although they still gave him a fair bit of camera time while he was on the bench.
Yeah, in this weird season, any hamstring injuries, even if it's only a normal 3 weeks, what he's probably got 4 games in there. So I think the thing, and Matt DeBoer's really important as well in a different sort of role. So, but Toby's the most important player in the team, I reckon. So I think what they've got to do is just make sure he's right, give him an extra week after they think he's right, get everything strengthened up and make sure it doesn't happen again. Because if he comes back and does it again, then that might be the season. Mm. And you just can't go into the finals without him. So it's going to be an interesting 2 or 3 weeks in the hub for the rehab staff up there, that's for sure.
Yeah, especially given the fact they'd already been managing him. He'd already missed 2 games through, not injuries, but the coaching staff making the decision to rest him because of, you know, just pulling up sore from training. So you're right, they need to get him cherry ripe. Leon's basically all but conceded he'll miss the game against the Bombers this Friday night. Then there's a 6-day stretch where they've got their bye in there, and then they take on the Swans on the 13th over in Western Australia, which will be a significant day for Giant Swantown, mind you. The first ever, the Giant Swantown Clash is what they're probably renaming it. I would think he misses at least 2, maybe a 3rd, pending the severity of it. And Matt DeBoer, from what Leon said, not as bad as Toby's, just pulled up a little short. But you wouldn't be surprised if he missed, which opens the door for a couple of kids to get a chance. Jackson Hatley, who we've seen at this level perform. Tom Green, the much-hyped Tom Green that we haven't seen since just because of how well the Giants have been going. Leon mentioned Xavier O'Halloran, Jack Buckley, Bobby Hill. If you had to make a call, Curls, who do you think we see in next week?
Well, Matt DeBoer's a hard one because he's playing midfield, some half forward. Green's probably permanently forward, but he's a medium. He's marking small forward, if you can call him that. So it just depends on who's been in form. I think Hatley is probably at the head of the list.
Yeah.
Just because he can play wing, probably midfield. You'll probably take DeBoer's role. Then if you roll the dice on Bobby Hill, got 1 game and couldn't get near it, but supposedly it's been in pretty good form in the scratch matches. It just depends on who's available, I guess. Callum Ward is there. I think was pretty close last week, so maybe he could come in if he's 100%. So, they've got options. That's the thing. They've got options. If they want to give O'Halloran a crack, take a look at him. He's played some pretty consistent footy, so they've got options at this time of the year, which is a good thing and not usual for the Giants.
I see them now. We've seen Richmond kind of wake up a little bit this season over the last 3-4 weeks. We've seen West Coast are awake and should be premiership favourites in most people's minds if they're not already. I see the Giants as they're still in bed, but they've opened their eyes. And, you know, they've accepted the day, that the day is here and they've needed to wake up. They've now opened their eyes and they're sort of just preparing themselves to roll out a bit.
Yeah, if it snooze a couple of times.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably once or twice too often. Mum's yelled out, you got to get up now. And, you know, with Zach Williams back in, if, like I said, if Callum Ward can come back in, Taranto's back. And I reckon Sunday was his best game so far. Jacob Hopper's found some real good form. So has Josh Kelly. The forwards are going pretty well. Himmelberg and Finlayson, and they're not having real massive gains, but they're still there. Like you said, I think they're getting on a bit of a roll, and if they can peel off some wins in the West, and who knows what happens after that, where they're going to go. But I think they're in still genuine contenders for sure.
Yeah, all right. All right, Curls, you got double votes to give out for the Lamb Mumford medallion, a.k.a. the Lamb Sausage, because of the win. 2 times votes here. Who you got?
Well, 3 votes times 2 is 6. I've gone for Jacob Hopper.
Hopper.
One of the Bulls in there. I think it was his best game for the year. 27 touches, 5 clearances, kicked a goal. Did probably throw away his chance at a calf, a goal of the year, but
oh.
I'm sure he's hasn't thought about that much. But, yeah, seven score involvements as well. So I think that was his best game for the year. Two to Zach Williams. Spoke about his impact, 26 touches, 20 kicks. So he's back in a big way. And one was a tough one because there was a lot of good contributors. So apologies to Josh Kelly, Tim Taranto. The skipper was pretty good, and Nick Haynes and Harry Perriman pretty good. But I've gone for Lockie Whitfield for his 29 possessions. Ran all day, another polished performance. So he gets the one, which turns into a three.
Yes.
For Lockie Whitfield.
Well, it turns into a two.
Well, yeah, sorry. I wasn't real good at maths. I was more of an English student at high school.
outstanding. Well, just a quick recap on the leaderboard. The two votes that you've awarded Lockie Whitfield there gives him a four-vote lead at the top of the Lam Mumford medallion. He sits on 16 votes. He's four votes clear of Toby Green, who we obviously won't see for at least a couple of weeks. Luke Parker from the Swans, outstanding effort given they're not winning many games. He's five votes behind on 11 votes. Josh Kelly's on 10 votes. And then Jacob Hopper, the big six you just handed to the Hop, he is in fifth place on 8 votes. So Lockie Whitfield with a commanding lead, and the way he's rolling along, he's in a good spot to be crowned the first ever Lam Mumford medalist for 2020. All right, Curls, now the first rule of Giant Swan Town is we do not look at next week because we know what happens when we do. The Swans to take on Collingwood at the Gabba. The Giants to take on the Bombers at Metricon Stadium. Then we have our bye week, and that is when we are looking into having some guests on board. So stay tuned for that one. But, Curls, it's bye from me.
See you next week, mate. Looking forward to another crazy weekend where these teams are playing all over the country, and looking forward to seeing some more good footy from the Giant Swan Town teams.
And it's goodbye from the town.